different. Are you a little bit different? I'm a little bit different. I like to be amongst the people. You know, I'm blessed to be here today with my wife, Sarah Lynn, and my son, Keaton. We appreciate the opportunity to come together with you on this beautiful Sunday. And that song reminded me of something that we need to say. I just feel in my spirit something we need to say. Let's say this together. In fact, say it and look around at somebody when you say it. Say, welcome home. Absolutely. Welcome home. You know, the church is the earthly home for people who give their lives over to God and have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The church is your earthly home. And then, of course, our goal is our heavenly home that is promised by God for us for all of eternity when that time comes. It's amazing to me when I talk with a lot of people, they talk as if that they've got all the time in the world to do this and that with their life. And we know this as I begin into our message today, that every day is a gift, every breath is a blessing from God, and we should live for today. Amen. As we look forward to tomorrow. I was blessed to be with you all not too long ago, and one of the things I like to say when I begin a Sunday message is this. It is my blessing and my honor and my privilege to be able to preach and to teach during this time. I believe that's my part. I believe God's Spirit then allows the words to reach. And then your part today, again, is to receive the word and respond to the word. Again, so I'm blessed and in my time and preparation able to preach and to teach. My part, the Spirit of God, allows it to reach, your part to receive and to respond. So keep that in mind as we go into today's message. If you have a Bible, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4 in just a few moments. Ephesians chapter 4 in your Bible or on your phone today, if you could find that. That'll be what we'll look at in just a few moments as the Bible teaching for today. As you're turning there, I want you to know these things. The phrase one another, those two words together, the phrase one another, occurs around 100 times in the New Testament of the Bible. The phrase one another occurs about 100 times in the New Testament of the Bible. So let's talk about in our relationships with people. If you tell somebody something 100 times, why would you do that? Well, if you tell somebody something about 100 times, it's probably because it's very what? Important. Are you getting the point? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? My wife probably feels like she has to tell me something 100 times before I get the point. Feel free to laugh. Those of you that are husbands, you know, and our parenting relationships with our children, we probably feel like we've told them something 100 times. You get the point. The word one another, those two words together, joined together, the phrase occurs 100 times in the New Testament of the Bible. Approximately 59 of those occurrences are very specific commands and teachings for those that have given their lives over to God and are trying to follow the example and the teachings of Jesus Christ. After all, that's what it is to be a Christian or to call yourself a Christian, is if you are trying to be a Christian, then you've done a few things. You've given your life over to God. You're following the example and the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that makes you a disciple or everyday follower of Christ. And so if that's you and if that's me, then there are very specific commands wrapped around these words, one another, that again occur over 100 times in the New Testament, 59 of those very specific, and teaching us how and how not to relate to one another. looking at this idea of one another, I illustrated a little bit this morning in the children's message the idea of being one and one to another. But it doesn't happen in every setting. It doesn't happen in every context. For example, you go into a large department store like a Walmart. You go in there and there's a lot of people that are in that place, that exact place at that exact time for that particular purpose, to go in there and to shop and to buy what they need. But can you imagine somebody hollering out, "Hey, we're all one in here. We're all one. We're all one to another in this place." Somebody probably call security, wouldn't they? But in the church, that's what makes the church unique and special, is in the church when we come together as one another, we are one and one to another. And obedience to these teachings and commands of Jesus Christ is just that, and totally necessary. It forms the basis for true Christianity and true Christian community. And so, one another is the idea of coming together in the name of Jesus Christ and Christian community. And it has a direct impact on our witness to the world around us and even in our own community. So just like you can't go anywhere without your head, I'm pretty sure of that. Are you? Can't go anywhere without your head. Okay? You are not just one, you're one of many. You are not just one, you're one of many. We are one and one to another. You indeed are the one that decides for yourself and makes a decision for yourself with your free will, what you're going to do with your life. If you're going to follow Christ, you certainly do that on your own with your free will. But when you make that decision, it comes with the commandment and the teaching that when you make that decision, that you are no longer one. You are the one who decides to follow Christ and come into the church. But aside from that, you are not just to be all about yourself. Let's take a moment and consider. We're living in a culture and a world today that is very much about individualism, aren't we? And that leads to selfishness. It leads to, I'm going to think about me and what's best for me all the time, and I'm going to live for me. Let me ask you a question. How many of you wake up every day and say, I want to be around a bunch of people that think that way and live that way? That's the kind of people I want to be around. That's the kind of people I want to spend my time with, is people that are just thinking about themselves all the time, people that are just individualistic. In my experience, people that have that mindset, they're going to think about themselves more so than you, and those kind of people, frankly, can wear you out. Amen? It's all about me. See, the church of Jesus Christ is the opposite of what we see in our culture and the opposite of the world, because we're called to come together and to be one and not just to be all about ourselves. In the church, we are one and one to another. So can we say that together as we go into our text today? Say, we are one and one to another. And that's what's beautiful about the church. You know, sometimes we get discouraged, and I understand that, being in church leadership for 20 years of my life, we get discouraged why won't more people come into the church? Why won't more people come and experience this and be one in Christ and experience this community? Well, the reason why is because our culture, again, promotes a totally opposite lifestyle, does it not? And so what we're seeing now in our day and time, you know, I didn't live back then and neither did you. All we can do is live for today in this present age that we're living in, and we understand our current culture and our current context, which says it's all about you and whatever you want to do and however you want to live and all of that, and it's the opposite of what we're called to be as Christians and what the church is. And so it presents a choice. In the church, we are one and one to another. The phrases, each other and one another, speak to relationships. Our relationship with God, our relationship to Christ, our relationship to one another. And it is very important for us to understand the connection between that and coming together as a community of believers. If we are one and one to another, it requires that we come together. Does that make sense? We are one and one to another requires that we come together as one in the church, as the body of Christ. It requires that. It would be like you becoming married to someone and still keeping yourself separate and apart from. Well, that makes no sense, does it? That leads to, you know what, in relationships, right? And the same is true in the church. When people only think of themselves and they don't think about the importance of coming together as the community and the body of Christ, then it hurts. Christ is the head of the church. We are one with Christ and one to another. And so that's the emphasis of this message today, to encourage you in your commitment to Christ and in your desire to come together as the church of Jesus Christ and be a community of believers together. It is so important that we do not forsake that and give that up. If any of you ever feel like during the week that you're missing something when you're not together with other believers in Christ, I hope you do. Because you know what you're missing out on, and those that are outside of Christ don't know, or they're rejecting it. But you know, don't you? Amen? You know the value and the importance of coming together as the church of Jesus Christ, as a community of believers. We are one and one to another, considering each other even above ourselves, as we're taught in Philippians. So let's look at today's Bible teaching. We'll start in chapter 4 of Ephesians, and we'll look, first of all, at verses 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul wrote here in Ephesians this instruction. He says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have received." Called to do what? Well, called to follow God and the example of Christ. Verse 2, "And be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love." So I highlighted there in verse 2 that phrase, bearing with one another. We are one and one to another. So there in verse 2, you see that phrase, one another, bearing with one another in love. I'll stop right there in verse 2. Again, what we see in our culture and our world today is, if I don't like you, I don't have anything to do with you. Or if you disagree with me, I don't have anything to do with you. Or if you're not enough like me, I don't have anything to do with you. And so we have this atmosphere and this culture that does not bear with one another. We have people that I'm only going to associate with you if you meet these certain requirements or if everything lines up perfectly. Does that sound familiar? It's very transactional. It's very conditional. And our young people are seeing this especially every day of their lives. It's a very transactional kind of thinking, transactional relationship. Like, I will associate with you and keep my relationship with you, and we will be joined together in whatever way if everything lines up perfectly and you meet all of my expectations. That's exhausting. And a lot of times people bring that mentality into other relationships, like their marriage. Or maybe into certain work environments. And it's exhausting. In the church, we need to be opposite of that. Amen? We bear with one another. We don't have to be totally like one another. We don't have to agree on everything to come together and to have unity in the body of Christ. We are one to another in love. Verse 3, "So therefore, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So what that's teaching there is by the power of the Spirit of God to strive towards unity and to seek peace. There is, and then verses 4 through 6 of Ephesians 4, I have this highlighted in my Bible because I just love the teaching. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body. How many bodies do you have? Okay. There is one body and one Spirit, the Spirit of God, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. Verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That was the instruction and the teaching of God through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4. And what happened is people in their sin and people in their particular habits and preferences through the years have messed that up. But that is clearly God's intention, the instruction that we see there in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. The word one implies what? We are one. It means coming together. It means unity. Okay? So we're all coming together in unity under these understandings. There's one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. What I want to challenge you today with and ask you today is, will you be about that? Amen? Sometimes we have to look at ourselves first. When I'm being selfish, when I'm not acting this way and conducting myself in this way and thinking only of myself and my particular preferences about things, I have to start with myself and ask myself, am I compromising what I'm being asked to do? As someone who has given my life over to God and following the example of Christ, this is, you've heard this phrase, this right here is our higher, literally our higher calling. Amen? You've heard that, right? We've responded to a higher calling. Well, of course we have. It is definitely higher than the standards of this world, right? And so I've painted a picture for you this morning of what we're seeing out there every day and what we're called to be like and how we're called to live. And isn't it great when we can come together on Sundays and say things like, well, welcome home, and how are you doing, and how's your life going? And sometimes I struggle with this too, but here's what I want you to understand. What if on Sundays, your Sunday mentality was, at least on Sundays, I want to come together and be with people of God and remind myself of who I am in Christ. But what if I had this mentality? You know, today I'm going to get up and get dressed and make the effort and come into a Sunday assembly with believers in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do that because I believe in my heart and my mind and my spirit that somebody else needs that from me. Amen? A lot of times what we default to is thinking about myself. A lot of conversations I have in my own community are with people who used to be in church. They used to be part of the church. But in their words, they'll say, oh, I love the Lord and I've given my life over to Christ. I'll say, well, do you understand the connection? If you say with your mouth that you love the Lord and you've given your life over to Christ, then that comes with the commandment, not the option, that you consider one, what? Another. We are one and one to another. So in other words, it doesn't leave us the option of, well, I'm just going to take care of myself and think of myself and where I'm at with the Lord all the time. It comes with a higher calling, how we live, how we think, and to consider one another. So I think it's important at this time in our service to just say, to someone, thank you for being here today. Can we do that? Thank you for being here today. Amen? And then, for me. You didn't know that, did you? You came here today to encourage me. You came here today to encourage everyone else in this place. And you and I have the ability to do that, and we have the instruction to do that. And what's amazing is when we have that mentality, that's what allows people, no matter where they are in life, to still love coming together and being with the church. Amen? It's not all about me. Lord, use me for your glory and your purpose to allow us to be one and one to another. All right. Go down in Ephesians 4 and look at verses 15 and 16. This is painting for us a picture and kind of showing us God's promise for us and what this will look like. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? Ephesians 4, verse 15. Oh, there's so much wonderful teaching in that one verse that is, again, the opposite of what we see in our culture, in our country, in our world today. It says, when we come together in this way, we come together as one and one to another, we will grow. A lot of times people talk about, well, the church, that seems to be down in its numerical growth. Well, what about spiritual growth? Amen? Maybe the church is down in its numerical growth because everybody has time for everything else and being everywhere else and being together with everybody else. But when it comes to being with the church, well, maybe if I feel like it, or maybe if it's a nice enough Sunday, again, that's defaulting back to thinking only what? Of yourself. So thank you. Being here. It's not easy sometimes. We understand that. There are days when we wake up and we don't feel like it. Well, let me ask you this. Those of you wonderful couples who've been married for so long, do you ever not feel like doing something for your spouse? And if you do it anyway, what motivates you to do it? Because you, the Bible says, the two shall become one and one to another. And the church is called the bride of Christ. And so that same mentality we take into the church. And so when you don't feel like it, that's understandable. There's a lot of things we don't feel like doing. But when we come together on a Sunday, God's going to bless that. And the opposite of that is, people that think the opposite of like, well, if everything's perfect and everything meets my standards and my preferences, I'll come and be with the church. Well, that's a dangerous curve because people can come up with something new, what, every single week. There's a lot of things that we don't feel like doing. There's a lot of things that are on the schedule, a lot of things going on in our busy lives, but we are one and one to another. The importance of coming together. God is going to bless that. He says, we will grow to become in every respect, and I love that word, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is, of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, from Him, Jesus Christ, the whole body is joined and held together. And look at this next phrase, Ephesians 4, verse 16, by every supporting ligament. So I guess what we should stop and say at this point is, you're a ligament. You're a ligament, I'm a ligament. You know, and what do ligaments do in our body? They're very important. And I promise you, maybe some of you have had that happen. If a ligament in your body snaps, you're going to know it. And that ligaments in our body are there to support the other functions in our body. And if the ligament snaps, it shuts down our knee or our ankle or our elbow or wherever those are if they snap and break apart. So ligaments in our body literally join things together. Does that make sense physically? Right? And so spiritually, the ligaments joining together, supporting each other, grow and builds itself up in love. Oh, and then here's the next phrase. Ephesians 4, verse 16. As each part of the body of Christ does what? Its work. I love this teaching to encourage us today, because what it reminds us of is God's intention for us as the church. We are one to another. We come in the church, we think of each other, we come together. God blesses that. We grow spiritually, and we all have a part, and we support one another as each part does its work. And so the question that has an answer, the question is, do every one of you, when you come into the church in the body of Christ, do every one of you have a part? What's the answer? Yes. Okay? Every one of you have a part when you come into the body of Christ, but that also means that every one of you have a work. A work to do. To support the church. So there's no limit on what God can do through you when we go to work. Amen? And when we support one another. So let me describe the steps, all right? Number one, we got to give our lives over to God. We got to come into the church. Begin to follow Christ, have Him as our Lord and Savior. We need to do that first. Then we become a part of the body of Christ, and we join ourselves with the body of Christ. And we have regular fellowship with and association with the believers as we consider one another. And then we all become a part of the work of the church, so that the church can be blessed by you as you support the church. Does that make sense? So we all have a role, we all have a part, and we all have a work. We all have a role, we all have a part, and we all have a work in the church. And what I love, and you can lay this teaching aside if you're writing your notes, you can lay this same teaching aside with 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about the different parts of the body. You know, the ear and the hand and the foot and the head. And you don't have your parts of your body, you know, saying, I don't need you. If one part is missing, right, then it matters. And so everyone matters in the church. Everyone has a part and everyone has a work as we have been gifted and blessed by the Lord. And so we need to believe in that, and we need to pursue that as we consider one another. So here's what I know as I close out the message today. Some phrases that I hope that you can remember. Without the head, the body is dead. Okay, we understand that, right? Without the head, the body is dead. The church is the body of Christ. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. I'm going somewhere with this. So the church of Jesus Christ will not die. Amen? Without the head, the body is dead. The church is the body of Christ. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. So the church will not die because Christ is the head of the church. And so we follow Him and His example as each one does its part. Another thing about 1 Corinthians 12 that you'll love is, you know, I'm up here and I'm giving the message and I'm preaching and teaching, and, you know, there's various gifts that I believe that God has given me. But my question to you is, what gifts has God given to you as each one does its part? That means in the church, in the body of Christ, which is opposite of the world out there, we're not walking around here in competition with one another. Isn't that great? Amen? saying, hey, look at what I'm doing, and what you're doing is not as great or not as important or not as valuable. There's too much of that out there in our culture and in the job world and in the schools and in every other setting. When we come together as a church, we get to live and experience the complete opposite of that. Amen? We'll say, hey, we're glad you're here in the church, in the body of Christ. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to have fellowship with us. We want to be a part of your lives. We want to know what's going on in your life. We want to pray for you, bless you, encourage you, help you in any way that we can. And all that we ask in return is that you do the same for us. Amen? We can never do for God what He has done for us, but the way we return the investment that Jesus Christ made for us is that when we truly believe that Jesus Christ and Him alone is the source of our salvation, when we accept that and we believe that promise in our heart, and when we are baptized into the body of Christ, then the least we can do is to serve Christ by blessing and building up and benefiting His church. Amen? Did you hear what I said? That's the least we can do. Because how many of you know here today, as I close out the message, that we cannot save ourselves? Amen? I mean, that is what we're reminded of today. Even this morning, we sinned. Or at least I did. Every day, we sin. We fall short of the glory of God. We cannot possibly atone for all of our mistakes in the past. We cannot possibly make right every mistake we've ever made. And so we need Jesus as the source of our salvation. When we accept that promise into our life and receive that salvation into our life, it allows us to experience what the world is missing. Do you believe that? We've got to receive it, we've got to respond to it, and then we have to be messengers of this good news that the church can be the opposite of everything that we see. Jesus Christ said, apart from me, you are not a part of me. Does that make sense? Jesus Christ said it. Apart from me, you're not a part of me. And so if we wear His name, we cannot stay the same. Amen? We are called by Christ to be one and one to another. Christians are not supposed to be casual consumers. In fact, we are commanded to be committed disciples. See the difference? Christians are not to be casual consumers, meaning, oh, I'll be with the church and I'll follow Christ if everything fits all of my preferences. You know people like that? Maybe you've been that person before. No, following Christ commands us to be committed disciples and consistent contributors to the work of Christ. We don't just watch. We engage in our mission. Purpose. If we just watch and we don't engage and we don't live out our mission and our purpose, we'll watch all of this happening around us as if we don't have the answer and we don't know what to do. We have the answers and we know what to do. Amen? We do life together, gladly. And we share in the mission of the church together. And that is why we need to come together. I need you. We need each other. We're not called to do this by ourselves. Amen? The church needs you. And ever more so today, you need the church. I mean, you could just look at your life like Monday through Saturday and see your own struggles. And if you will humbly admit to yourself today that you need the Lord, you need salvation, and you need the church. The true church. That will help you and bless you, pray for you, and encourage you, and strengthen you and empower you and equip you to live out your godly purpose in this world and in this life. We only have one life, right? One body, one life. But we also have one God, one Father, who is in all and with us all, the source of our salvation, who calls us to be one in His church. So come into the church, stay and remain in the church, and let's do this together. I love the invitation song today, I Surrender All, because that's what it requires. The world tells you if you surrender, it's a sign of what? Weakness. But actually, when you surrender to God, you surrender your life over to God, it's an act of humility. It requires great strength. So we're going to sing this song of invitation today. And as we sing it, I'm going to stand up front and be praying for you as well. And we want you to know that it's the Lord's invitation to consider what you need to surrender today. And consider one another as the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's stand together and have this invitation song. And if you have any needs of the church,